The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It begins with a crack, and then another. And another. A string of small explosions like firecrackers strewn across a Saturday morning. I rushed around a corner to see a tall, majestic quequelch, the arbutus tree, which soared into the sky beside our house, come falling, tumbling towards me. In a baffling moment, the crown which I had known from a great height for a long while came crashing down, slouching to rest on the slope of the hill beside it. I no longer recognize the night sky from my bedroom window. The stars are somehow painfully wrong, and the glimpses of the silhouette of the forest hold a strange and unfamiliar shape and an ill color. It plunges me into an unsettling doppelganger universe in which I do not know myself. Yesterday, my partner Corby and I made our way across the familiar waters between our home on Salt Spring Island to our home away from home, here in this place. At times it's a peaceful journey, a moment of stillness and calm, at others a boring one, familiar in all its little turns and tumult. Sometimes a stressful one as we helplessly, impotently try to will the ferry to get us where we're going on time, something it isn't likely to yield to. Yesterday, though, it was like the skies themselves had opened up. There was this immense downpour all around us, the entire crossing, rain absolutely everywhere, and a blowing on the seas, a wind that was unfamiliar and strange, that seemed to blow the seas, the boat, and even the cars around us into crashing in the wind. And there's something beautiful about standing at the bow of the ship and watching and feeling how the whole world rages around you in the storm. There's something present in that, something felt. So much of life can feel like moving freely through thin and tepid water, but even just to stand there for a few moments was to feel friction, force, and power, confrontation with something real and moving and alive. When Isaiah exhorts, "Get you up to a high mountain," I hear echoes of the story in this place as told by Sinchothan-speaking peoples, how in the midst of a powerful and world-ending flood, it was Narbutus at the top of a mountain being rapidly engulfed by rising waters that provided a spot of anchor, a way to survive. Tradition recounts that from the moment when that tree of salvation held fast and firm against flood and wave, it would no longer be burned as firewood. It's worth, after all, remembering that some things are sacred, even when it might be expedient for them to burn. We should have some respect for those things which might, in time, come to save us too. And if God will be found in this place and in these lives, it must be in the midst of moments of trial and loss and terror and pain, and in the presence of wind and power and flood. We proclaim very often a gentle God of the 23rd Psalm, but if I have felt God's presence, it has been in moments of terror at the vastness of all things on the concrete floor of a cathedral, and moments of life and glory alongside roaring gust and crashing wave. There is peace, to be sure, in the holy, but God is not just, nor even most, waiting in the pleasant and in the placid. The world is so painful and so broken, and we can't numb ourselves to that, nor wallow in the prevailing toxic positivity of our society, so much so that we lose sight of the sorrow and the yearning of our own lives and those around us. People are dying at the whims of distant madmen, and their killers themselves are being broken by all the bloodshed. Things are fallen and bitter and crashing and exploding so loud that we cannot hear ourselves think or cry or plead. Some people are praying even now in the midst of darkness for peace, not because they wish that everything were lovely, but because if peace doesn't come very soon indeed, they'll be dead. Or perhaps simply driven mad by the din of bombs and the caprice of the rulers of the world. This life, this earth, this home of ours is a place of pain and love and need. And we pray to a God of power and might and peace. And this here is the place into which Christ very soon, whether we are ready or not, will be born. Here, a voice in the wilderness cries out about forgiveness and hope, about repentance and faith. A strange and wild human proclaims that there is something waiting to be born, something just about to emerge, which will untangle and unsettle just about everything. And Isaiah proclaims that God comes with power and might and a brilliant and a breaking sort of glory which bears armament and recompense and ruling power and all destruction, and yet which contains all these terrible and glorious things to be able to what? To feed us, to gather us, to carry us, and to lead us. Some suddenly gentle movement throughout the whole universe coalesces for a little while on earth to give us comfort where we have come to expect annihilation. We are gathered into the loving arms and flesh of God as one who has always loved us and would never leave us. It is a beautiful and a terrifying thing to live. It is glorious and awful to be born, to give birth. It is too much and not enough. It is too long and too short. It makes no sense that any of this at all should be in any way, at any time, or that there should be any place or anyone. Yet here we are. Here we are, and Isaiah proclaims that in the midst of loneliness and certain destruction, God is with us. God is in the heavens and in the glory, and God is here among the lowly and the broken. And at the base of that arbutus tree, I told you about that tree of salvation which I have come to know and love, there is its lignotuber, the mass of woody flesh that that species forms at its base to carry it through times of trial. It's dotted at this time of year with the purple-red fruiting bodies of Tuberia punicea, the mushroom which grows on the dead wood of living trees. It strips away the wood that has died and fruits in the rains of autumn and winter when the water runs over and through the trunk. Where death and damage have broken in and decay has run its course, the fungus lives and digests and cleans and from time to time fruits that it might spread itself to where it next is needed most. And alongside the mushrooms there is moss too, where the base of the tree has lingered for a little while in the moisture and in the shade. And the moss has a life of its own on the surface of this greater creature there, which sheds its skin. And there upon the sad and broken stump, with the shattered stem rising like a monument to faded beauty and half-remembered glory, there are a few shoots beginning to rise. They're sheltered now from the deer which would eat them, and like the shoot from the stump of Jesse, it seems like there might be some salvation there waiting to emerge. Some new life which was always ready to be born when at last the time was right. And where Shelley's Ozymandias, a poem you may know, recalls the forgotten stump which has been emptied of its power, which betrays thereby the folly and insubstance of its former glory, Isaiah tells us elsewhere and throughout not to underestimate the remnant, the stump, nor to too soon imagine that our destruction has been complete. There is some remnant of the war and the folly of our world through which something new might just be able to barely come. And so in this season, we hear the voice in the wilderness, in the wilds, in the wind. We listen for the moving of a spirit which is present and powerful and strange. We honor the presence of glory and salvation and love, even in things lowly and broken and forgotten. We are all of us lowly and broken and forgotten. We have all been cut so low. And here and now, we are alive. And together, and in our quiet growth and resurrection, we proclaim a thing unseen. God is with us. God is here. Amen.